America's top nuclear official is warning of extremely high radiation at the damaged Japanese nuclear plant.
Saying that in some of the areas around the plant, the radiation levels are 1,600 times higher than they should be normally.
Radiation has increased 400-fold in the region of Miyagi, which lies dozens of kilometers.
So, I don't know about you, but hearing those kinds of figures on the news over and over again since the Japan earthquake has really freaked me out. But some people who, unlike me, actually know a thing or two about radiation and nuclear physics have been reacting with a different emotion, more of a cringe than a shiver. People like Ellen McManus, a student at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, and a senior operator at her school's research reactor.
No one has any context for these numbers which are coming in from Japan. You know, I was listening to people saying, oh, this is 20 times the normal level, this is 10 chest x-rays. I got asked a question on the internet one morning, is 20 microsieverts large?
Ellen says the Fukushima disaster is very serious, and we still don't know how bad it's going to get. But most of the radiation that's been observed in northeast Japan and reported in the news is actually really, really tiny. Nevertheless, we're talking about radiation here. A deadly airborne menace that you can't smell or touch or see, that's measured in units you don't understand? Any amount sounds like a lot. So Ellen turned to her friend, Randall Monroe, a cartoonist with a physics degree who lives here in Cambridge.
And she suggested that there needed to be a chart or something showing people what different radiation levels meant.
For Randall, that turned out to be a surprising challenge.
I started just saying, okay, what's the smallest thing that I can plot? And I made a little dot for that. And I said, okay, now what are some larger doses of radiation people would get? And I would make them proportionally larger. And pretty quickly, I found that it got much too big to fit on the chart.
On the small end of the scale, Randall says, there's something called the banana dose.
Bananas have potassium in them, which gives you a little bit of radiation when you eat it. And it's so tiny, but it is still a measurable amount of radiation. And then way up at the other end of the scale is Chernobyl, if you were standing next to the reactor when it went.
So to visualize the vast orders of magnitude across that scale, Randall came up with an incredibly elegant chart that you can see right now at radioboston.org. In one box, he has a bunch of little dots representing the amount of radiation given off by some common things.
You get about 0.05 microsieverts, which is one dot on the chart, by just sleeping next to someone for a night, because our bodies emit natural radiation.
Now, that little dot is dwarfed by the cluster of 70 dots representing the average extra daily dose of radiation that's being measured now in towns near the Fukushima plant in Japan.
And both of those are dwarfed by just the background dose that you get anywhere in a day, which is about 10 microsieverts.
Or about 200 dots on the chart. Sounds like a lot, but
all of those doses totaled up total the extra radiation you get if you happen to live in a stone or a brick house.
And how much radiation is that? Well, it's about 1/12 of the highest doses of radiation recorded in the area around Three Mile Island during the accident there.
And that, in turn, the worst of Three Mile Island, is about a third of a mammogram's worth of radiation.
Okay, I get this may be hard to visualize. So I converted a bunch of the values on Randall's chart into durations of sound. The longer the sound, the higher the dose of radiation. Here's a sound representing the amount you get from a typical dental x-ray. Want to hear that again? Okay, now here's a duration of sound representing the average total dose that someone living near Three Mile Island got during the accident. One more time. Dental x-ray, Three Mile Island. Okay, now here's what a mammogram sounds like. Yeah, this is going to go on for about 30 more seconds, so let's get back to Randall's chart.
The biggest thing on that section of the chart is the yearly dose permitted to radiation workers. So all of that, if you got the maximum dose that you're permitted to get in any one year,
and you got a mammogram,
and you got a mammogram, a CT scan, a chest x-ray, and you were near Three Mile Island and near the Japanese reactor, and you lived in a stone or a brick house, altogether, you would still get less radiation than the 100 millisievert dose, which is the lowest dose that's clearly linked to an increased risk of cancer. There's a chance that a little bit smaller doses than that are linked to cancer, but the data is just a little bit fuzzy.
If represented by one of my little tones, The cancer-causing dose would be a tone lasting almost 17 minutes. An immediately fatal dose would be represented by a tone more than 22 hours long.
I think what we take away from this is that we don't have a good intuitive understanding of radiation, and it's easy for us to become spooked.
Again, Ellen McManus, Randall's friend who works at that reactor in Oregon.
And it's difficult for reporting in the media to convey an accurate picture to readers, listeners, or viewers as to exactly how bad something is. And that's why charts like these help.
So should we divine from this, Randall, that you are pro-nukes?
Well, I don't want to minimize the storage problem, what to do with our nuclear waste long term. But I feel like that is an easier problem to solve than the problems inherent to coal and oil.
Ellen?
Pretty much have to agree with Randall on this one. You know, I'm in favor of nuclear power, and as much as it'll help us reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, but it is certainly not the answer, and we certainly need to keep developing and pushing truly renewable technologies in order to have a good, sustainable future on this planet.
Again, you can see Randall Munroe's radiation dose chart right now at radioboston.org. He stresses it's for general education only, but we did run it by some experts at MIT who told us his figures check out, though you have to keep in mind he's mixing some cumulative doses with immediate doses. Those experts, by the way, stressed that while this little intellectual exercise is useful, we still have no idea what's going to happen at Fukushima, and there could be effects from long-term exposure that we can't as yet foresee.
And tomorrow on Radio Boston, a new documentary makes a case that the pharmaceutical industry is manufacturing a disease in order to market the cure. The disease? Female sexual dysfunction. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert and Dan Mauzy. Our interns are Jason Breslow, Anna Pinkert, and Amory Sievertson.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our fantastic web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Adam Ragusea. Meghna Chakrabarty will be back in this chair tomorrow.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.